from the home of one of WDRT's most athletic duos, Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
It is great to be here. We are in the big studio.
The big boy studio.
This is nice. Yeah, this feels extra fancy. Sound effects optional. We have extra things on the board. Mic is extra crisp. It has been a great week. Yeah, man. It's a great week. Nice to be here. It's good to see you. Yeah.
Well, you got your fill of me last week.
Yes. Yeah, and then some. Three times in a week.
Yeah.
You got it down to a regular amount. Yeah. Yeah, it's been good.
Good.
How
you doing?
Yeah, it's been great. The week has been nice, just warm enough. I am a sucker for fireworks and all the fun things that come along with 4th of July, so I like a nice holiday weekend, and here we are, smack dab in the middle of summer. Speaking of smack dab in the middle of, the Brewers season is halfway through.
Yay!
Yeah, yep. They finished, they're closing in on the All-Star game. The All-Star game is next Tuesday, so I think the last game is Sunday this week. Saturday, Sunday is the last game for a few days for the All-Star. But the Brewers had a good week. They had another one of those plus weeks. They went 4-2. They won 2 out of 3 against the Pirates and are in the process of hopefully winning 2 out of 3 against the Cubs. Play the Cubs. Today's Wednesday. They got a game at 3 o'clock against the Cubs, but that'll be hopefully 2 out of 3 a couple times against division teams. So they're on the upswing. 46-40, which puts them, I think, a half game currently. Yeah. Cincinnati's still, playing really well, has played well with young players.
Have they lost a game yet?
Yes. They're 7-3 out of their last 10. They've evened out. Yeah. The Brewers are 7-3 over their last 10. The Reds are 8-2. Yeah, they're both playing really, really well for different reasons. The Brewers have won games kind of all over the place this week. Mostly they're doing it with random pitching and relievers and defense. The only thing the Brewers are not doing currently is hitting the baseball, which, it's one of the really important things.
Usually.
And it's one of those, if this was pro football, there are, 2 out of 3 phases, special teams and defense, the Brewers would be great. But they currently have a terrible offense. In the National League, it's last or second to last, one of the last in every major category, which makes a guy like Christian Yelich hitting .284, 10 home runs, 42 RBIs heading into the All-Star break. Fringe All-Star, .380 on base percentage. Really, really, he sticks out as clearly the best Brewer by a mile.
Yeah.
Offensively, he and Willem Contreras are the only two guys hitting above .250.
So pretty much the same old has been going on for the last several weeks.
Same old, same old. But,
month.
But they're winning, which is they had hit a spot where they were, winning a game, losing a game, winning two, losing two, really 500 or under. They were not playing super well. But guys like Wade Miley, who coming off the disabled list again, is 5-2. He's got a under 3.5 ERA. He's not getting, and anymore in baseball, guys don't need to go 7-8 innings. He's going 5 innings and change. He's getting the ball to the next guy down the line, allowing a run or two, keeping the game manageable. He and Julio Teheran are the only two pitchers, starting pitchers, doing that currently. And like I said, they would have been considered 6th and 7th starters for the Brewers at some point going into the, call it, preseason. Their two best, Corbin Burnes and Freddy Peralta, are both average pitchers. 4.0 plus ERA for both guys, who were both all-stars. I mean, Corbin Burnes was a Cy Young winner a couple years ago. Yeah. Freddy Peralta was supposed to be that next guy, win 10 to 15 games. Both of them are not doing well. They both are, ERAs over 4.
So kind of like just barely, just making it happen.
I mean, they're C-. If you were going to grade them on a curve, you'd see those are C-. Yeah. Pitchers. Their hitting is worse than that. Somehow or another, they're
winning.
They're middle relievers. They're getting through the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning of games, giving up 1 run or 0 runs consistently. So even when your team isn't getting on base, maybe you're only getting 4 hits. Maybe you're only getting those hits late, but the Brewers are getting guys on base just barely enough and then not allowing anything to happen. They're pitching, you know, their relievers are going no hitters. Certainly no runs. A lot of unnamed people. Devin Williams is the all-star, only all-star representative on the Brewers. He's got a 1-point-something ERA, 18 saves. He's in 30 innings allowed 14 hits and 40 strikeouts. He's doing everything Josh Hader did for the Brewers in the last couple of years, and so he's their only all-star. But there's an unnamed. If anybody leafs through, looks at the names of the random relievers that the Brewers have this year, that's why they're winning. It's a whole bunch of collective, like their special teams. It'd be like if they had Devin Hester on special teams. You know, they're not doing much else, but they are.
At least they can. Yeah.
But they've got that one phase that they're not allowing anything after. If you don't get to them early, the Brewers just, you know,
stopping everybody.
They're winning 2-1. They're winning very low scoring games, and their defense also. They are fielding very, very well. They're a top 5 defensive team, which is harder to see.
Right.
You know, it's certainly in a box score, it doesn't show up. It unless you're watching it on TV or seeing it live, you don't see how, that shortstop, Joey Weimer, that outfielder covered a gap.
Right.
Should have been a double, turned it into a single. Should have been a single. He caught that ball. Plays like that all over the diamond. That's how they're winning. They're stealing a lot of bases, but everybody is. So, yeah, they've got 8 games. Their next 8 games are against the Cubs and the Reds. They play the Reds to finish and then to start after the All-Star break. They got 4-4 against the Reds. That ends up a big series. By the time
when's the All-Star break?
The All-Star break is Saturday or Sunday. The All-Star game is Tuesday. I think the last game is Saturday, and then the home run derby is a Monday thing. And the game
where's
it at? Seattle.
Oh.
It is. It's at Seattle this year. I don't know much about the home run derby or who else is in the All-Star game or who isn't, but so they get a 4-day break. So yeah, these next 8 to 12 games for the Brewers, once again, we're in the meat of that line. We could be seeing them. At this point, they're doing too well to consider trading.
Right.
The trade deadline's coming real quick. Unless they bottom out quickly, the Brewers are either buyers or holding firm at trying to win the division with what they got. So, yep, they don't look like big sellers, although they didn't last year when they traded Josh Hader. So I'd like to hope they aren't, because there's a 50-50 chance that they win their division and or make the playoffs. Okay. So, yeah, the other big news in sports was ESPN fired everybody.
Yeah.
If I'm sure anybody who's watching or keeps up with sports or reading on the Economic Times of the Disney Corporation there, if they fell on hard times, they had to let go of 20 people in the last week. And I'll just list you a couple that I know, and you probably do too.
Yep.
Jeff Van Gundy, basketball guy, coach, and now former NBA analyst. Susie Colbert had been on the NFL things for seems like forever, 20 years. Jalen Rose, Steve Young, Todd McShay, Matt Hasselbeck, Keyshawn Johnson, Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman is the one for me. I watched him and Teddy Atlas on Friday Night Fights when I was a kid. He's been on ESPN, what makes it, 20 years.
Right.
He had a show with Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams, and two of them got laid off. Yeah, they just let everybody go. Basically, they've come to realize nobody's watching studio shows. They don't have to produce these yelling contests at halftime of games anymore or pregame. Nobody's paying attention to any of that. So unless you're just unless you've got a real long-term contract, basically ESPN's going to let you go somewhere else. Right. And all of these guys, Jalen Rose, I love Jalen Rose on TV. I really enjoyed him in college as a basketball player. I really enjoyed his radio stuff. I like Jalen Rose. He'll show up somewhere, I'm sure, pretty quickly.
Did you see that they signed Pat McAfee?
Yep, Pat McAfee signed Todd McShay, right?
$85 million, 5-year deal. They're talking about money.
Good. I'm glad. Jeez. I'm glad he landed on his feet. I was concerned about Todd McShay. Yeah. I had my good.
No, that's
who was it?
Pat McAfee.
Oh, he got signed.
He got signed for 5-year, $85 million. For the 5-year deal.
To ESPN? Yeah. So they've replaced all of these guys with one guy.
Probably, I guess.
All right. Well, when we were going through the Aaron Rodgers saga, I listened to some Pat McAfee show, and he's loud and he's brash. He reminds me a lot of Stephen A. Smith. He reminds me a lot of Skip Bayless kind of thing. Like I don't enjoy loud. I don't enjoy volume.
Heavily opinionated.
Yeah.
Hey. Just throw their opinions right at you. This is my opinion. You should like it kind of a thing.
It's a, if I had to fill 6 hours of sports talk radio, that's what it turns into. But these guys are in 30 minutes and 1 hour shows on TV. Yeah. It's not my thing. So ESPN has, yeah, just
cleaned
gotten
house.
Cleaned house. It'll be a.
The ones I like, the announcers and the, on their talent, they kept ones I like. Like Freddie and Fitz at night.
Sure.
You know, those guys have been on there for, geez, forever.
Well, it's interesting which parts of, because I listen to a lot more ESPN radio than I do watch ESPN.
Sure.
Same thing, you're driving around in your car. I've been, since I was driving around in my car, listening to ESPN radio, whether it was out of lacrosse or when you get the satellite radio, you're listening on.
Yep.
I like some of the radio guys, but yeah, as far as watching the shows, I just need the sports. I will change the channel as soon as.
And I also watch. I mean, I listen or watch Greenberg, Mike Greenberg.
Yes,
he's a staple. I mean, I remember Mike and Mike.
Oh yeah,
that was a great show.
I really liked some Mike and Mike. Yeah,
you know, but that was very. You know, they did some cool stuff, but it was very.
And they keep trying to recreate this duos on the radio, and it just doesn't. You don't need to create some of these things. They just work because it's a natural chat back and forth.
Because those two are completely the opposite spectrum.
Yes,
you know, so it worked great. You know, I loved them when they were going their own different ways. I'm like, oh no, you know, kind of a thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of one of their.
So it'll be interesting to see who is replacing whom and who is going in what direction. Are there going to be just less announcers on all of these shows? It's just going to be. This will be interesting the next year because
our newcomers, people kind of, coming up, they don't have to pay them as much.
It could very well. Yeah, right. Yeah, it could be. Well, so it'll be interesting to see who is on. I mean, especially in the NFL show, there's four people on the end that out of seven that were.
Steve Young kind of surprised me.
That one too. Yeah,
he's very intelligent.
He seems and very measured. You know, he seemed like maybe, like you said, we were talking off the air. He maybe had a contract running near the end.
Do they fire Robert Griffin?
No, Robert Griffin is still there.
So that tells you something then too. Robert Griffin's more this Maher.
Sure.
Than Stephen A. Smith.
Right, right.
You know, he's that more dynamic.
Well, LaFonso Ellis was an ESPN basketball announcer, and he was very measured and very easy to listen to, and he got the axe as well. So out there somewhere is a very easy listening sports show.
They have a format that they're going by, I'm sure, and they're just going to go, okay, this is what we want. This is what we need in the future.
You know, we talked about this before. Somebody's job is to decide how many dollars per entertainment are these guys worth.
Yeah, right.
And they just decided about 20 of them were not worth it. So that was number two on my docket. ESPN.
I'm sure all of them, most of them will land just fine on their feet.
Oh, yeah. We'll see. Todd McShay, we're not going to see the last of Todd McShay. There's no way that he doesn't appear on the NFL Network.
CBS, or NBC,
pick
NFL.
All the Big Ten has their own network. SEC has their own network.
I kind of more associate him with college football than I do NFL. So.
And anymore, there's so many podcasts and opportunities for all of – For their money to be made. We'll see if I want to find Jalen Rose.
If we could have a podcast.
Yeah. Professionals could pay money. If we had a sponsor, we could roll the ball on this sponsor thing. That's how we get the fancy sound effects and all the bells and whistles that these guys had. Yeah, man.
No.
Number three, and we're doing it, U.S. Gold Cup. U.S. Gold Cup, for anyone not paying attention, is a
lot of them.
They play every 2 years. The best teams from North America, Central America, and the Caribbean, soccer. U.S. is the defending champion, the top 16. This year, it's the top 15 teams, and they invited Qatar to come over and play. Started June 24th, goes to July 16th. It's played mostly on the West Coast, Vegas, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Like I said, U.S. is the defending champ. They have moved on. U.S. and Jamaica were in Group A. They both made it. They beat... The U.S. really, really stomped all over, Kitts and Nieves, a couple of small island nations. They've beat 6-0 and 4-0, stomped all over them, tied Jamaica. They're in the second round. They're playing against Canada on Sunday the 9th. So if you get a chance to watch, Canada also made the World Cup. You'll watch. Yeah, I know. You're going to – I'll record it for you. We'll hang out.
You got it.
And we'll watch Sunday. Sunday starts late. It does start late on Sunday, so maybe we'll get up early Monday. And watch it before we go off to work. But Canada also made the World Cup this year along with the U.S., so that will be a really good benchmark. The U.S. has played really, really well in the last few months of qualifying and tournaments. The U.S. has looked like a really good team. Looks like going into the next World Cup qualifying phase and spots for everyone paying attention at home. U.S. soccer is on the rise. They officially have hired Greg Berhalter, who was their coach in the World Cup, and then he didn't get his contract renewed. They've renewed him. He's officially their coach again. I guess he always was, because everybody was an interim before that. So yeah, the U.S. soccer looks on the rise. So get excited about that this weekend. I'm not sure what channel they're on or where, but go find that for good soccer. And then the other thing was NBA free agency.
Yes.
Like $1 billion got spent in the last
1.5.
Was that what it was? Yeah. I was just guessing, but just
in the
looking
first 24 hours.
Just guessing on some of these things. Everybody got their money. Is kind of how I'm going to give you a list of. Kyrie Irving got 3 years, $126 million. Fred Van Vliet, who was a undrafted free agent out of Wichita State, played for Toronto, played really well, played himself into a 3-year, $130 million contract from the Rockets. Those are the two high marks. Kyrie Irving stayed. Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a big deal, but now it's not so much. Who else stayed? Draymond Green stayed with the Warriors, 4 years, 100.
Saw that happen.
The Bucks did well re-signing Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez because they had to.
Yeah.
There was no one else, and they couldn't re-sign anybody else, and they were over the cap.
Yep.
They needed to, and they got both of those guys.
And honestly, if he was healthy, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
During the playoffs, we'd be talking a whole different. I think the coach would have saved us.
100%. It's such a strange if. Miami came to hit at the right time, and Giannis was hurt, and the Bucks lost. They needed,
If Giannis was healthy, they would not have won that game.
These contracts, along with the rest of their starters, with Giannis, the next 3 years you have to consider Milwaukee one of the best three teams in the East, no matter what anybody else is doing or has done or traded for. It doesn't matter if Damian Lillard gets traded to the Heat. Miami is still not as good on paper as Milwaukee would be. Milwaukee, they spent the money they had to keep the players they wanted to.
I heard Giannis was saying something about he wanted to go play at the 76ers.
Oh, yeah?
Something. It was like one of those floating things that, you know, take it for what it is, but.
You mean Damian Lillard wants to play for the Sixers or Giannis
wants to?
Oh, sure. Why not?
What?
That's neat. He signed for 4 more years in Milwaukee, and he's not going. You know, unless he wants to go, and why would he want to go? He's doing quite well here. He's gotten a chance to play with both of his brothers, to settle in and live in Milwaukee and have children, and he seems to really enjoy the community that he has surrounded himself with.
The thing is, one of the reasons why Aaron probably picked the Jets.
Yeah.
For exposure.
You want a little juice.
If you hit either L.A., or New York, or in that area, you get that exposure worldwide.
Sure. It makes sense. At a certain point in your career, you want some exposure.
Promoting yourself, you know. Yeah. But
I'm not going to think about that. He's too much of my favorite player on my favorite team. Oh, yeah. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dylan Brooks, who last was seen yelling at LeBron James and then getting trounced by LeBron James in the playoffs and not getting re-signed by Memphis, got 4 years, $80 million from Houston also. And very questionable on that deal. Memphis was a number two seed, clearly said, we don't want that guy for any cost. We're not going to re-sign him. And somebody, he found $20 million from somebody. Good defender, terrible offensive player.
Well, Houston is like,
they've got the money, and they're trying to build something.
Completely rebuild.
They're trying to go from phase one to phase two of a rebuild, where they've got all this talent. They need some veterans to glue some things together. So rookie max extensions. There was four guys who got their max rookie deal. LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, and Desmond Bain, all first-round picks, all got their roughly 5 years, $260 million, $250 million extensions. Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton were both all-stars.
Yep.
Desmond Bain put up 20-plus for a Memphis team that was really, really good. He's a solid, solid plus defender, plus everything. LaMelo Ball is super talented, but always hurt. And as they have the number two pick in the draft, does not play winning basketball. But Charlotte really realized, well, we don't have anybody else. And it's not the first Big Max deal that hurts a team. It's usually the second or the third one, where they can afford to pay LaMelo Ball because they don't have anybody else worth anything. Same thing with the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are looking at some point in the next month, I would say Karl-Anthony Towns is a former Timberwolf. He's now making too much money, and they have three guys making a max deal, including two seven-footers, and nobody wants Rudy Gobert. So eventually, and I would say Carl Anthony Towns is somewhere else.
Yeah.
To just sort of even out what they can afford to pay. So that was the NBA in the last week. And how much time we got? Because 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes. We're gonna play
okay.
a song.
Okay, we are going to talk about. I have a couple more. Is there anything else you want to get in?
There's nothing else in the NFL right now, and it's all they don't start for a couple more weeks for training camp. So
no, as we will
and
get.
Nothing has happened on any front. Nobody's trading anybody. Nobody's, you know, Dalvin Cook still hasn't signed.
Well, I'm chomping at the bit to do any NFL stuff. You know, every time we get together, we could do 30 minutes
absolutely
on
absolutely nothing
pretending
right now.
Pretending the NFL is happening, but there's nothing. The mini camps are done and gone.
They're even, I mean, even if you watch the NFL draft or and network,
there's nothing.
No, they're just playing rebroadcasts of all the games.
That's how you know the season 15, is gone.
20 years.
Yep. Right. When you are watching replays of games that you. From a day, yeah, there's nothing.
And it's really, I mean, they played the championship game from like 1975.
And there's no good free agents out there. Yeah. There's nothing interesting.
There is, but they just, everybody's hitting, you know, DeAndre Hopkins still hasn't signed anywhere, so.
Yeah, and DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook are two pretty good names that.
And I think they're going to wait until.
Should move the needle for somebody.
Well, they're going to wait till through training camp. Somebody's going to get hurt on some team, and then all of a sudden they're going to go, we really need you now.
Or somebody's going to realize that the second round pick that they get is not a lead back, or they're going to realize DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be a Packer. But it would be pretty nice to realize, oh, maybe Christian Watson and the rookies that we've gotten aren't stars.
Yeah.
Why don't we just spend a quick 15? But they don't have the money, clearly, when they
Minnesota's in the same boat. I mean, right. Jordan Addison, if he doesn't work out, which you won't know that on the rookies, really, until you get really into the season.
You will, yes. Yeah.
So that's why I think, like, Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins, they're just
basically, your favorite team's roster is all but set.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're whoever you like. So that being said, we are going to talk about a sport adjacent. That happens every 4th of July. If anybody is stuck inside on the ESPN network, they show every year on 4th of July. Yeah, buddy.
I know what you're talking about.
This is the famous Nathan's hot dog eating contest. They held it once again, and it reminded me, Joey Chestnut, that he is, everybody probably knows. Clearly, I don't have to tell everybody who Joey Chestnut is, but for those who don't know, he is the greatest hot dog eating, he's the greatest eater of all time. And I only, it counts as a sport because it's on ESPN. I'm not really sure because it feels like the opposite of sport. It feels just, but it's
competitive eating.
Is it competitive eating? And they talk about training. So if NASCAR is a sport, then bowling is a sport, then eating is a sport. Joey Chestnut, he won again. He hasn't lost since 2015. He's the clear greatest of all time in his sport. He's got 54 records in competitive eating, ranging from macaroni and cheese to baked potatoes to chicken wings. You know, 184 chicken wings in 5 minutes.
That sounds horrible.
Gratuitous, yeah. I'm going to just give you some numbers real quick on what he's the rec. His record is 76 hot dogs, and bun. In 15 minutes.
He hit the record this time around, didn't he?
He did not. He did not break his record. 2022 was as close as he's come. I think he had, I think it was 60-something, this one.
Oh.
In 2022, he ate 63 dogs and buns at 290 calories per dog and bun. So anybody keeping track at home, that's 18,270 calories in 10 minutes that he consumed. The average polar bear, for anybody also keeping track at home, is about 13,000 calories a day. So he out-ate a polar bear in about 10 minutes. Very impressive. He's eaten in his eating total, like you said, since 2005, 142 pounds of hot dog that he has eaten. That is 648 feet of hot dog, and the Statue of Liberty is 305 feet. He's eaten two Statue of Liberty's worth of hot dogs and bun. It's very
over his career.
Over his career, it's an amazing amount of bulk. So
plus, not to mention all the stuff in between.
Well, that's the thing. He's not just a hot dog guy.
Yeah, I'm assuming that this is his career.
He is not a yes. Oh yeah, he travels the world.
Oh my God.
I looked it up. It's 54. If anybody look at the things he's eaten, it's meatballs, it's chicken wings, it's hot dogs, it's macaroni and cheese.
So is it enough to make a I suppose?
Yes. Sponsored traveling.
He's on pistachios.
You've seen him on a TV commercial.
Yeah.
Nope, he's making a living somewhere. YouTube channels. You know, there's. Yeah, Joey Chestnut, I'm sure if we looked at career earnings, makes an amount of money that probably makes us just as disgusted as the amount of food that he's eaten. But yeah, by comparison, in the 18 years from 2005 to 2022, Rafael Nadal, who is considered the greatest tennis player of this generation, won 14 French Opens in a row. You were talking about an amount of winning, Wayne Gretzky level. You're talking Babe Ruth level of winning and competitive eating. Like I said, I'm not really sure if it's a sport, but at the end of it, he looks like he's run a marathon. And so anyway, that is the world of sports.
$4 million. He's worth $4 million between all the corporate sponsorship. Oh,
that's amazing. It's
and the for being the winner yesterday, you only got $10,000.
And I got to thinking about him because there was why I was watching the interview with him. He's a really normal, down to earth guy. He's not a big. He's a regular sized guy, kind of my size, who just can eat. This amazing, he's got amazing technique, like a real skill set that I can't believe isn't more. But yeah, so anyway, I just want to talk Joey Chestnut because I will never get a chance to, I'd assume. That wraps up the week of sports. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to you for sitting there and pressing buttons and producing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Executive amateur producer.
Executive amateur producer. That's on the tagline. It's official. Okay. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Catch us on Spotify and listen to Fell on Black Days by Soundgarden on our way out the door. Bye.